Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Welcome in Point Blank Range. We are going point blank the rest of the week, and we are going trap shooting from Point Blank Range because my man Trap J99 is going to be in with me the rest of the week. It's Joel Blank here, Travis Johnson there, Nick Shirara behind the glass. And this is the threesome I like with class. These are the guys that get it done the right way. Nick, you forget that in my previous life, when I did my other job, I was a lyrical genius that rhymed just about every sentence. Therefore, every now and then I bring them out just to keep people appeased as they listen to us in our new format. But as Travis knows, if we build it, they will come, and they will keep coming because we will keep entertaining as we remind people that this is about sports. Not real life, not that serious. But at the same time, we are entertaining, and we are here to provide a release. Not that kind of release, Travis. The kind of release that people keep coming back for more because of the fact that we talk about what's on everybody's mind. We know what's on everybody's mind tomorrow night, and that game is coming as the Texans are already on an airplane headed to Foxborough as they take on the New England Patriots. So we'll obviously cover that. We've got plenty more to cover, including another late-inning heroic event by the team that was buried and put away for good by certain people, but the Houston Astros keep hanging in there. So I know baseball isn't your sport and you really don't like talking about it in this town all that much, but it is relevant and they are still relevant. And I like the Astros hanging around till the bitter end. So that's good. We can talk about that as well. We got plenty of things to get on and off the field, the court and otherwise. Got a great story about a kid who was called up by the Orioles last night in his first major league game. And we'll get to that as well. But, Trav, one of the things I want to talk to you about right off the top was this short week. I know that from a fan's perspective, they love the short week. They love having football to watch on a Thursday night. They love the ability to have a full week of football. But from a player's perspective, I really think people don't understand, and the common fan doesn't understand what goes into it from your guys' perspective. Your feelings, just first and foremost, on you know, the difficulty going into coming off a game Sunday, but you're at home, and now you got to go on the road and play Thursday.
Well, it's rough because you don't really even feel good until Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday, you start coming around a little bit slowly. Thursday is the day where you actually feel good again and say, you know what, I'm ready to play for Sunday. But then it's like, man, I got to play right now. So I think the positive part about it is you get a longer week after a Thursday game, but it's tough on your body. But I remember me personally actually liked it because it was less practice during the week. It was more mental reps. The beating you take during a normal week wasn't there because now you literally recover on Monday, but you still got to have a walkthrough. Tuesday you have a little up tempo practice. Wednesday you travel. You see what I'm saying? Wednesday you walk through.
And you guys value, it's not just like when you have a day off, but you value getting a day off.
Yeah.
Because like on a regular week, was it Monday or it's Tuesdays Tuesday. Are off? Tuesday's it's Tuesday. Off.
If you win, you get to see you Wednesday, which is like the greatest thing since Bluebell ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, that's so, but Tuesday is the greatest day of the week. That's why if you look at the Peyton Manning commercial, when he's calling Eli, he's like, hey, E-Man, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm pencil you in for Tuesday. And that's why he put him in Tuesday, because you know Tuesday's the off day.
That's the inside stuff you don't get from anywhere else, Nick Sciarra.
I know. One question, though, Trap, like, does the younger players feel less bothered by the quick turnaround? Like, I mean, maybe the older players who's been in 8-9 years and kind of been through the injuries?
Well, the older players just know how to handle it. The younger players are the ones who probably have the most problem because they exert so much. Like, they don't know how to chill. They have zero chill. Sunday night, they probably all still went out and got...
I was just going to say, they exert off the field,
too.
Yeah,
they probably went out and got wasted, not realizing, man, we got to turn this thing around in a couple of days. They probably all, like, they're the guys who, and if you're a rookie, it hurts even more. Because you got to think, rookie year is your longest year you'll ever have to face is your rookie year. For the simple fact is, your college season, especially if you're a draft pick, if you're a draft pick and a senior, it is the longest year of your life. You play those 12, 13 college football games.
Right.
You play in the Senior Bowl or one of those bowl games. Not on top of your own bowl game. You play in the Senior Bowl or one of those extracurricular get the league involved bowl game. Mm-hmm. You get ready for the combine. You get ready for your pro day. You get drafted in April. And then all of a sudden you go from being drafted to now you got to go to OTAs or you got to go rookie minicamp
first, yeah.
OTAs, off-season conditioning, come right back for 2 days. And then you're into a 20-something week football, and that's without going to the playoffs. And if you go to the playoffs, like my college roommate and my cousin played on the Super Bowl championship team in Pittsburgh, and my college roommate, he's still to this day was like, dude, it was the longest 3 years or 2 years that I've ever had. He said because we went from our college football time to the combine, pro day, all of that stuff. To I played in a Super Bowl as a rookie. And then to backdoor it with another 20 weeks. You know what I mean? He was like, and as a matter of fact, they went to the playoffs the following year.
Yeah, because you don't get much time off in between.
No.
Especially when you go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Especially when you go to the Super Bowl. You don't really get that much time off at all. So that's the hardest part for those young guys is the guys who aren't used to the grind, the guys who aren't used to taking care of their body. Like older guys, we get used to the tub. Like you get in the tub, you get in, you know what days are your drinking days, you know what days aren't your drinking days. You know what days I got a massage at this time, I got a pedicure at this time, I got everything. Like you just know how to take care of your body.
So you're on Nick's schedule early on. Because Nick gets the mani-pedi.
In regards to the pedi, yeah.
No, but that's the vets.
Well, Nick's a vet. He's a network guy.
Yeah, he's a network guy. You know, he's a national guy. You know,
you got to get your mani-pedi if you're a vet.
But, you know, so we know how to take care of our body. The problem is condensing it to those couple days that you have
free.
So you're
implying that people drink
of course,
when they play sports.
Of course. A whole lot.
You've also implied that you've never been hungover.
I've never been hungover there in my life.
Anybody buying that?
Ever. I question it.
Well, you can question it.
How in the world can you never be hungover?
I've just never been hungover. I process alcohol very well.
Or maybe
I'm from the Midwest, right? And so when you're weaned off a nipple, you go right to beer because that's what happens in the beer capital of the world in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right? But at the same time,
the beer, I'm not a beer. I'm a liquor drinker. I drink beers. Now I do enjoy a good beer over at the Flying Saucer over there.
Boy, you're just promoing the hell out of people that should be getting on board with this show.
Well, they should get on board. I mean, if you're from the Flying Saucer and you're listening, I'm a frequent fan of the Flying Saucer.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. And hopefully I get my 200 plate soon. When are we
going to get some love for the plates? That's all I want to know.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm
you've never been hungover. Okay, if you're buying it or not, you can chime in on that. We've got a big day today because we've got offense and defense in the studio. We've got Keenan McCardell from 3:30 to 4. We've got Trap J all day and all week, which I love. But you've got all kinds of questions, just a plethora of possibilities sitting at the wayside for you to be a part of our show. 713-780-ESPN. That's a text or a call that gets you into the show. Or you can tweet us at TrapJ99, the man who made 99 famous in this town, in football, and in jerseys. At TrapJ99 or at PacManJoel with a K. And, of course, behind the glass is No Hit Nick. You can get him on Twitter as well. But We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to have questions ready for Keenan McCardell when he comes in at 3:30, and all day for Trap J. We are 97.5 ESPN.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Let's get lost tonight. But you wouldn't be hungover if we did. Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, Nick behind the glass. We are here rock and rolling, kicking some... See, Nick, I could have done it again. But then again, I would have been pushing the envelope just a little bit. So I refrained from that little potty mouth word that we could have used. We are here till 4 o'clock. We want your feedback, opinions, calls, text messages, tweets. 713-780-ESPN or finding us on Twitter. We've already given you those addresses. If you pay attention and you participate in the show and you've pulled up a beanbag chair already in the past, present, or in the future, you know how to reach us anyway. But we are available, we are accessible, and we are here for you. We were talking before the break, Trav, about before you made the statement, or I brought up the statement that you've made, which you've never been hungover, and that's going to be questioned. There are people out there already that are questioning.
Well, I'm glad they are. I mean, I can't tell you why when they made this Panamanian king of myself, you know what I mean, that I just processed liquor different.
See,
I had my first drink at 9 years old. My first bottle of Boone's Farm at 9 years old. A full bottle of Boone's Farm.
What'd you weigh then? About 260?
At nine?
Yeah.
About 180, 175, about 5'9".
Okay.
At 9 years old?
Yeah, I was 5'10", 185 in the fifth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you have it. Nick get pulling a Joel with a wow. Okay, because, like, you know, again, like my dad, you know, we had no problems taking sips off the beer mug. But at the same time, look, in Wisconsin, we have cure the hangover before it happens. Like, before you go to bed, if you take two Advil and drink, like, a big gulp of water, you're going to be pretty okay the next day.
No,
but I can't make that statement.
I don't take Advil.
You do
before
nothing
I go.
To prepare for, I mean, or
I'll,
avoid
I'll,
it.
I always drink water before I go to bed. No matter if I've been drinking or if I haven't been drinking. So that might do it. Does it help ease it? That might be one of the reasons. But I literally do not go to bed unless I drink 2 16.5 ounces of water.
Wow. And I know you've been large and in charge for a while too, but at the same time, that's amazing to me. John Granato, who could never even fathom that, was amazed in the hallway because he now says three beers and first of all, that's a lot. His tolerance level is close to the fact that you could go to Lake Travis and basically, you know, drink the entire, he drinks about as much as the water in Lake Travis. So I don't know how, that's how you build up not having a hangover because your tolerance level is ridiculous.
Well, that might be my problem.
Well, and there you have it.
I mean, I just never had one.
Ever been hungover, gang? Yeah, we'd like to hear from you. And even if we don't like to hear from you, we will. So we want you a part of the show. Join in. But the other thing that we were talking about more seriously is the short week in the NFL. Trav, you've heard all these stories, too, about how they want to elongate the season. But as part of elongating the season, you're also still including these Thursday night games. I just want your take overall on, would you be okay with two less preseason games but two more games in the regular season? And also,
no.
Are you good with the fact that the short week is going to continue as long as they have Thursday night football?
Oh, they're going to keep Thursday night football. One thing about the NFL is they're going to make it to where every day of the week eventually has football. From Monday night, you got Monday night football. Tuesday, yeah, you don't have anything. Wednesday, you don't have anything. But guess what? Thursday, what do you have? NFL football. Friday, what do you have? High school football.
And
Saturday,
college football.
Exactly, and college football. Saturday is college football. Sunday is and it keeps on going.
Well, and you know during the year that ESPN starts rolling in a Wednesday game.
Exactly.
Tuesday game.
That's what they put. They put the BET Classics on Wednesday. You know, you get the black college HBCUs playing each other on the WB.
No, but they actually, they'll
come with a decent team every blue moon. But, I mean, listen. I don't like the fact elongating the season. I don't think it ever happened for one, because for one, you have to figure out how to pay everybody for those extra two games. No guy in the league is going to take two more extra games
at no extra pay.
Right. There's no way they're going to do that.
And nor should they.
And for one, the league is already, they're not going to shorten the preseason game. If they do it, they'll keep the four preseason games as well, because they're making all their money for the preseason game and having to pay a fraction of the cost of the players. You got to think about it. The ticket sale prices are the same as the regular season. mm-hmm. for a preseason game.
That's ridiculous.
The concessions are the exact same for the preseason game. A beer is $8 during the preseason.
But across the board, NBA is the same way. Absolutely ludicrous that the prices are the same for a preseason than a regular season, when in most cases, your first string in football and your starters in basketball are maybe you're going to play a quarter.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
And it's the same thing in football. I mean, everybody, they say, yeah, we don't want all the preseason games, but let's be honest. As a starter, if you're a starter in the NFL, you only play one quarter, plus two quarters, three quarters, and then you play. So you might play a full two games.
You're okay, though, with reducing the length of the preseason regardless. It doesn't mean elongating regular
season.
What?
You know why I say I don't agree with reducing the preseason. Only thing I do agree on is that the owners need to bring the cost down.
Okay.
You know, for the fans, if you want the fans to continue to enjoy the preseason games the way they do, and football sells itself, so that's why they don't have to do it because they know people are still going to buy it. But I don't agree with reducing.
You don't think for the preseason reducing it from four to two helps the players?
No, because it's not going to help. It's not going to help. It's not going to help guys like, Stephon Diggs or a guy who are fifth-round picks. Or it's not going to help guys
Make
who are seventh-round picks or free agents. That doesn't help. Or, I mean, look at our tight end that we got here.
Which one? Johnson?
From Cal Berkeley.
Anderson.
So we look at him. Yeah, he made a splash the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
But what solidified his position is what he did the last two games as well. So would he have made the team? Would we have found a gem like Anderson? You know what I'm saying? As far as
you find diamonds in the rough with a full training camp?
With a full training camp. Because you get to see guys work and work through adversity. Because the thing is, two-week training camp, it's nothing.
So I guess like Hard Knocks brings you into the reality and to prove the point you're making when you find the guy like 24/7 that was open 24/7 might not. What was John, the fullback? The
big John Connor.
John Connor was like the man that was pounding the hell out of people and found himself on a roster. That makes perfect sense. But that's why I wanted to ask you about it, because that's the insight that people aren't aware of from an NFL perspective, just because it's so different to actually go through the grind of a short week and go through what we're talking about here in terms of the entire NFL season. And I just wanted to get your take on, you know, shortening the preseason, the length of the season, those kind of issues, because I think it's interesting to fans. But we get back to the Texans and the fact that, you know, we talked even yesterday, we started previewing it a little bit, but you had said on Monday you were fired up about the fact that, you know, you don't have any problems with Belichick and they go doing however they're going to do. But one of the things you mentioned that becomes topical is their injury report.
Yeah.
Because now they're saying Garoppolo could play, and they're saying he could be a factor. From your defensive perspective, as you prepare as you believe that Romeo Crennel is preparing, especially a guy that knows the Patriots' way, how much of a factor could Jimmy Garoppolo be? How much are you preparing for him, and how much are you just preparing for the backup?
Well, in preparing for the backup, because of what Jacoby Brissett can do, and I know a lot of fans are like, how do you know what Jacoby Brissett can do? He's an ACC guy, played at NC State. End of the day is, I've seen this kid play for his entire time at NC State.
Does it matter? They don't have a lot of tape on the guy? They have a half of football at Miami, right?
We'll go to college. Go watch his college tape.
Okay.
And, I mean, he ran a similar system. It's the reason why Bill Belichick drafted this guy. He can throw the ball. He has great feet. He's a good athlete. You know what I mean? Like, that's so you can go back and watch and see what type of player he is and see, can he scramble? Can he do that? So what you do is, as a team, you'll throw in for a guy who can run or a guy, you'll throw in the occasional read option look in your scouting report, even if they don't run it. If you saw him running in college and he did something well, know that a guy like an actual genius like Bill Belichick, he'll have that wrinkle or something that makes this kid feel comfortable of what he did when he played in that scheme of things. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think you in preparing for him, you can still prepare for Jacoby Brissett and Garoppolo, because it's
well, I think the other thing that you touch on is the system itself, because the bottom line is that the reins are pretty tight on a Belichick team in the regular season. You know that they have instructed him, you're not even Garoppolo.
No.
We don't want you straying outside the pocket, extending plays. We want you to know exactly who your tailback is, regardless of which one it is, And if it's blunt, you're going to hand off and he's going to pound.
Yeah, but I mean, the system is the system. The standard is the standard.
But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So he is going to play not to lose. He's going to be a game manager.
I don't know. I don't see. Here's my thing. I don't see Bill Belichick as being no. He's not no game manager type coach.
Yeah, but the system for him is going to be such because the playbook has to be dummied down.
I don't think so. You're a pro. You're a pro. We're not dummying down anything. If we got to dummy it down for you, you don't deserve to be on this roster.
But I just got done saying. But the big thing is he's not going to be Garoppolo in that he's not going to move over outside the pocket and start running. Because that's where mistakes happen, where he's trying to improvise.
Man, it's not about that. It's being a quarterback. It's doing what is there saying? Do your job. And your job is to be the quarterback. Your job is to do everything we expect from Tom Brady, everything we expect from Jimmy Garoppolo, we expect from you. You're on this team for a reason. This is a guy that was drafted by Bill Belichick. This is a guy who he has the confidence. If this guy was a dummy, if this guy was not his football IQ wasn't there, he would not be. He'll be on a lot of other teams because of his athletic ability, but he would not be on the Patriots. That's the reason why Chad Johnson got out of there, because he couldn't grasp the playbook.
The system. Well, there you go. We're talking about grasping systems. You want to grasp our system, you can grasp it from 1 to 4 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. We've got plenty of system to grasp. We are not hungover. We have come ready for Bear and or Patriots, and we're here to talk with you about sports until 4 o'clock. We want to know what you have to say. 713-780-ESPN. Give us a call. Give us a text. Hit us up on Twitter. We got some people right now already chiming in about The Hangover. It's not just a movie. It's a way of life. If you're Travis Johnson, and his way of life is he's never experienced it. Everybody's saying their suggestions as well. We'll get to those more. ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Point Blank doing a little trap shooting on a Wednesday, on a short week. Texans and Patriots tomorrow, Thursday night football. Been talking about that, talking about Travis's lack of ever experiencing a hangover and the weight of 100 pounds on your brain for a full day after a evening of fun the night before. A lot of tweets coming in, a lot of texts coming in. Had a tweet or two come in that brought back memories for Brother Bear, who said, Trap J, you ever tried Wild Eye Rose Strawberry?
Yeah, Wild Irish Rose. That's some good stuff now.
There you go.
Wild Irish Rose, Mad Dog 2020, Thunderbird and Kool-Aid.
Night Train.
Hey, listen.
I'm just going by the Eddie Murphy skit.
Hey, I'm trying to tell you.
Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, you know what the MD in Mad Dog stands for?
Please tell me if it's clean.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I'm just asking, did you know?
No.
Because everybody calls it Mad Dog.
I knew it was Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, but it's Mogan Davey. That's the name of the company.
I've heard of Mogan David.
Yeah, that's real drinkers know.
I've heard of that. Again, it's not something I do now, but it's something I did frequent back in the day. But I still am amazed. That's why I'm still amazed, because of where I grew up.
Yeah.
That you've never been hungover.
I just haven't.
So then you also said,
man, I drink moonshine and all.
But again, what Nick's not ready for, that Nick should be ready for, is that you don't just mix it with like Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite.
Oh no, Thunderbird, you mix with just Kool-Aid.
You mix with what, Nick?
Kool-Aid.
Really?
Kool-Aid.
Did you see what Nick just did there?
Nick just dropped the ball.
When are we going to get a network producer that wants to do local? Because when you made that reference and when we set the table for him.
It should have came in, ooh, yeah.
Should have been, oh, yeah. Just like that. He even found the original guy doing the original audio. We set the table, and you know what he did?
He took a bathroom break. He tricking off the church's money.
Right down his leg.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Nick, thanks for playing today. We appreciate it.
I only like to show up when I want to. It's terrible, isn't it?
Well, Basically, there's not a lot of want to in you, and we can figure that out. Travis, Nick, and Joel with you till 4 p.m. We're talking about Texans. We're talking about the lack of Travis ever having a hangover. We are getting a lot of nice tweets from you. We're getting some calls from you. What do you got on the text board, Nicholas?
He didn't leave his name, but from the 215, it's easy to avoid a hangover. You need to know your body, limitations, eat some bread-based food while you drink, switch to water and Gatorade
before you go to bed and get plenty of sleep. So,
and also check your purse for Advil, right? Those, I mean, come on, man. That stuff we already knew. It's just like I told you with the Wisconsin cure for your hangover, drinking a gallon of water and taking two Advil.
But here's the crazy part. I don't know my limitations. I like
that's shocking to me.
I like more. That's my thing, more.
I am shocked by the fact that you don't know your limitations.
No, because yes.
You don't have to. You don't have to say another word after you say that. There's not many people that are going to fight you on that.
Yeah, that's why you keep pushing yourself. I hate quitters.
Oh, I do. I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? You got to keep pushing yourself to be great. You want to be the greatest drinker of all time?
Because I feel like he's quitting on the show.
Hey, listen, I want to go to Beer Fest. Like, you know, that was in the movie.
Well, you should. You know, right now Oktoberfest is going on in Germany.
Yeah,
see, the second largest Oktoberfest in the world in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Is it?
Oh boy,
is it great?
Ooh.
Is it great?
Back in the day, my friend. Back in the day. Let me tell you something. There's some YouTube videos of riots that started because one side of the street started shouting, "Tastes great," and the other one started, "Less filling," and it met in the middle. They flipped a squad car over that. They just, oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's my type of party.
Yeah, it's more bars per capita people anywhere in the United States. And when
more
gets
bars,
going,
but not liquor stores.
Nope.
That might be Los Angeles.
That's right. Yeah, you can go to L.A. for that. But in La Crosse, Wisconsin, yeah. And it's Oktoberfest is just another
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yep.
That brings us to what old Sharara was talking about off the air about all the weird names for cities through the country.
Yeah, Nick, what do you got there?
But there's no, but that there wasn't really a sexual reference there.
Yeah, but it's still called La Crosse.
Yeah, it is a weird city name for sure. It's like Paris, Texas.
Yeah, it's like exactly.
Or Cleveland, you guys Texas. Are just running this thing off the rails today. But Nick's got a list.
Yeah, I'll print it out for you. We'll talk about it. There's some
really
weird
names. We'll talk about that. But we were talking about football. Let's talk about some of the other things going on in football. Big matchup this weekend. Josh Norman against Odell Beckham. Giants, Redskins. This time, they say that Josh Norman will be all over the field covering Odell Beckham. Did they learn a lesson? Was that just on a coordinator making a bad call and a coach? Or was that Josh Norman using it as an excuse that as long as he stays on the left side, he'd never have to guard Antonio Brown?
No, I think it's still on the coach, but I think you gotta mind yourself as far as I think Josh Norman can probably do a lot of more flipping, but I think Breland, who's a guy who's still young in this league, is used to left and right corners, or you know, in college we used to call them field and boundary corners. Sometimes one guy always goes to the field, other guy always goes to the boundary. Don't mess with that right now. And all of a sudden, you already got drugged. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're not a very good team. We were talking about yesterday about the two most dysfunctional locker rooms in the NFL. One might be the Chicago Bears. One might be the Washington Redskins.
Yes,
and both of them are because there's no order at all.
No, there's no order. But for one, there's no quarterback.
Wait, you know, you're saying the Chicago Bears didn't have a quarterback before Jay Cutler went out?
Well, right now they actually did, but I mean that right now that's where the dysfunction comes in, is with no stability at the quarterback that brings dysfunction.
There are people out there that think he's better than average. There are people that think I crossed the line. There are people that thought that he's the right guy for the Chicago Bears. People were wrong.
I'm not saying that he's not the right guy for the Chicago Bears. I'm not saying here. Here's what I will say.
Did you see him head for the hills after he threw the pick the other night?
Yeah, but why is it that we don't – I say everybody else that would have been given the benefit of the doubt.
He's gotten so many bennies.
No, he's not really
– come on now.
Here's the thing. It gets worse than him.
I agree with that, but it starts with him.
Yeah, I think he just – for some reason, that's part of Chicago's problem. They have zero communication. Because there's no way
wasn't that supposed to change with John Fox?
Yeah, but there's no way where a player – you think if Jay Cutler played for the Patriots, he would have came out and said, yeah, I took myself out. I wanted to get it. I mean, my thumb, I couldn't grip the ball. And no, Bill Belichick would have said, I'll handle it. What I say is the truth. It doesn't matter what anybody else says.
But
what I say is
also the truth. Yeah, you had linemen up in his grill – on the sidelines, calling him out.
But they might not have known the extent. Here's the thing. Quarterbacks aren't built like everybody else.
I get that.
I mean, I played a game with literally my leg about to fall off in San Diego. So literally I tore my abductor, which is my entire growing, and my hamstring, and was dragging my leg like it was a dead dog. And still played 50 plays in the game.
Well, you know that if you needed that help now, you could get Lindsey Vonn's number from JJ, and she could help you with your groin.
The groin. But, I mean, you just – it is what it is.
I'm not saying just that game. And you know I went on quite a rant before the game started and then after the game finished. And then, of course, again, Monday night we were talking about it because of the fact that the precedent was set way before what went down Monday night. But the fact of the matter is, you can't keep giving him the benefit of the doubt as a better-than-average quarterback in this league. If he continues to have – he had weapons around him. We talked about this. He had a great – I wouldn't say a great, but he had a really good offense around him the year that he had Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, the tight end that's in New England now.
Greg Olsen.
No. Martellus Bennett. Forte behind him. Decent offensive line. You and I were at Trailer Wheel and Frame, and Chicago fans were saying, better than 50% of them were saying, they want him out.
Yeah.
Jim Foley, the ex-Rocket announcer, called me last night. Diehard Chicago Bears fan. Went to the game. They want him gone so fast, it's not even funny.
Here's my question.
Who do you get that's better?
I
knew that was coming.
Because, I mean, you can't get rid of a guy if you have nobody to replace him
with.
But
then you look at a guy like Wentz, and you say, you can find them. Out there. Dak Prescott, they're out there.
Here's the thing about the NFL. Everybody looks at everybody else's grass and say, dang, that grass sure is green over there. Wish we'd have picked that grass up. That's some good, nice-looking Bermuda over there. But you get him in your program, and he might not be successful.
But you just touched on it. Belichick knows that very thing that he brings in a guy like Jacoby Brissett because he knows that system.
But he brings in the right guy that fits his system.
Shouldn't every personnel guy and coach know how to do that?
That's not what they do. I use myself, for example. Yeah, because they call me a bust. I don't give two you-know-whats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I should have never been here. This was not a scheme I was built for.
Really? So this system was not for you?
No. They ran a 3-4. I never even knew what a 3-4 was until the day they drafted me. Nope. I was a 4-3 guy.
So you were mad when they took you?
No, because I know I was getting a lot of money. But I was going to
Once you get by the money, doesn't the thought process start going, you know what?
But the player and the competitor in me was going to figure out how to get it done. It's going to figure out how do I make this work for me. Mm-hmm. It's going to figure out by any means, you know what I mean? And it just was a style of 3-4. It was different. But at the end of the day, I should have went somewhere like Indy. You know what I mean?
I ran the same thing I came
out of college doing.
Yep.
What made me a first-round pick is what should have been drafted to do in the league.
So essentially, it's like when we talk about Clowney either putting his hand in the ground
or being on the outside. You can't complain when you drafted somebody that didn't show you at all when they was in school that they could do it or they were capable of doing it because they didn't do it. That's not what they played.
Man, this is stuff you can't get anywhere else. This is why my man Trap J is keeping it real, and that's why I love about him. Of the many things. But this is what we call when chemistry works, because I'm finishing sentences for him. That's how good we know each other. And the beauty of it all is, Trap, with everything you just said, this system doesn't fit Nick right now either. He was drafted to be a network guy in a local job. And it's just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
Living in a lonely world.
Yeah, he's still trying to figure it out.
I'm gonna grind it out like Trap, though. I'm gonna grind it out.
Hey, well, all we want you to do is draft you to play to BR3 technique. Play the Kool-Aid anthem.
Hey, you were brought here to play the game, okay? Adapt, do what you need to do, grind it out, but figure it out so you're not a bust. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about busts? No, guys, not that. We're talking about guys that get labeled a certain way, but they don't realize all the variables. We're talking about the Texans. We're talking about never being hungover. We're talking about what you want to talk about. So why don't you chime in and talk about anything you want to talk about. We'll bring you in the living room. You can pull up an ottoman. We'll let you know if you can stay. 713-780-ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, we got a good one. Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, Nick Sciarra, talking about what you like to talk about. We told you, we get off the beaten path in a hurry, and we don't care, because it's what you guys want to discuss. We know that everybody in America, and at least in the greatest city in the nation, H-Town, every radio show in town talking about Texans, all the day, every day, 24-7 right now. We like to mix it up a little bit. We give you a little variety in your life. We'll still talk Texans, and we have. We talk about other things as well. Got a full board. Got people calling in. They want to chime in. And they want to talk about Texans. At least Chase does. Chase, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Thank you, Joel, and congratulations on this new radio show. Houston Radio is better with you in it, so congrats.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Got two questions, one for Joel, one for Travis. Joel, if the Astros make the playoffs, do they start Colin McHugh? And Travis, let's say the Texans beat the Patriots tomorrow night. They beat the Titans the week after that. And we go into Minnesota and we beat a Sam Bradford team. Do you feel that after that Minnesota game, I'm not counting our chickens before they hatch, but they finally start to get the national respect that they probably deserve?
I'll take the first one first. Okay. You know what? I would have said that Fister would have been in the discussion for a starting pitcher for the playoffs should they make it, but lately he's fallen off the planet. He went from their most consistent starter to a guy that just has struggled in the second half of the season. I really think that Colin McHugh is a guy that you take the game when he went up against King Felix. I think everybody in the city that's an Astros fan thought that, you know, King Felix would be dominant and that they'd really have a hard time winning that game. Instead, he throws a two hitter and the one hit was late and it was a duck snort of a hit. So, you know, if they get there, and again, people have written him off for dead several times, and I know Barry is one of them that, yeah, last week he had him buried. But, you know, if you're not playing the Texas Rangers, that team has a fighting chance. And if they get to the playoffs, I think you got to ride the hot hand. So I think that McHugh would be the guy. And that's not to say that, you know, anybody else, you don't know if Keuchel's going to even be available. So I think that's your safest bet. And we all know that if McCullers does come back, they're talking about, Luno's talking about the fact that they'd bring him out of the pen. So they're going to have pitching problems, and they're going to have a lot of young pitchers in a rotation that's going to be real short for the playoffs. But that's the way I would go.
And I think for me, if you get the Texans to come out of this 4-1 or 5-0 by the time they get done with Minnesota, I'll say it right now. I got the Texans being the first team to ever play a Super Bowl in their own home stadium. If they come out of that, if they come out of this 4-1 or 5-0, I can legitimately say that with confidence because this team is a lot better than people give them credit for.
So, but
including myself.
But here's the thing, too, and you don't want to look too far ahead, right? But first of all, there's been years, and you know this, and you've experienced this, but teams experience where they just can't get a break. You know, I go back to the Packers of last year when they lost five different wide receivers. They just kept falling like flies, right? But this year, the Texans are getting breaks. Yeah. You know, you're gonna get the Patriots without Brady, okay? You got the Chiefs without Justin Houston, right?
Yep.
Now, and I don't want to look too far, and I also don't want to be like Chase. I don't want to look by Tennessee as a win.
No.
Tennessee still got legitimate players. We talk about the fact they're building some things there.
No question.
But if you get to Minnesota and they don't have Adrian Peterson, they just lost Matt Khalil. They put Matt Khalil on IR. So you lose your tackle. That's one of the most dependable, steady tackles in football.
Your Pro Bowl tackle.
Pro Bowl tackle, right? So you lose Khalil. You already know AP's not going to play because he elected for surgery, so he's out. Now, and I won't take any slaps and shots at Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford got the job done the other night on just short notice with a new playbook. But Sam Bradford can play if he's healthy.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to look by too many things. But right now, so far, the schedule and the breaks are going the Texans' way. They got to capitalize on those things.
No question. And I think if they can, because you hit the nail on the head right when you just said what you said about the breaks and getting away with certain things. Marcus Peters should have had, like we said, four interceptions.
Yes.
Last year, those would have been, and he still got AFC Defensive Player of the Week. But last year,
he might have taken one of those to the house last year.
Last year, he would have took one to the house, and he still would have had four interceptions. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But this year is like, okay, yeah, he had two of them, but guess what? Neither one of them really hurt us. Neither one of them was really a big deal to us. You know what I mean? It happened. It's the game of football. But I see this year, if they do make it 4-1, 5-0, Chase, I'll be the first to say I got to eat my words when I said that I didn't think they'd be a 7-9 team. But if they win five games out of five or four out of the first five, then I literally will say I think they will be a representative for the AFC, and it'd be the biggest thing ever. For one, they'd be the first team ever to play in the Super Bowl in their own home place.
Right.
And two, it'd be the biggest thing for this city to actually get to see because, you know, NBA Finals, if your team goes to NBA Finals, you always get to see a home game.
Yeah, home games, right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But for football, you never get that. You also have to travel somewhere. Imagine if the Texans get to play here. I promise there's going to be nothing. Even though it's going to be a lot of businessmen, it'll be nothing but Texan fans in that stadium.
Well, I can tell you this. Ticket brokers would be making money hand over fist you know, you're going to have a local flavor. Whoo, baby. That's going to be crazy. But here, let me just tell you, Mr. Johnson, if you're nasty, and I know you are, but what I'm saying is don't put the cart in front of the horse.
Oh, no,
because
I'm not going
to
do that.
You can get off to a good start. And right, and all these things are lining up, which are all good things. But I'm going to tell you something. In the Steel City, what they got going right now in the AFC, and I warned y'all before the season started, but in the Steel City right now, what they're doing offensively and defensively, and the fact that they're winning games when their starting tailback is out the first three on suspension, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, do I like what they're doing with what you might want to call him a backup, but most teams in the league would call him a starter. He can play, and he can still play. D'Angelo Williams has been outstanding, and I think that having a two-headed monster in the backfield, as we've talked about in the past, will only enhance what Ben can do in the air. And oh, by the way, Antonio Brown has hardly surfaced. Had 39 yards because I got him on my fantasy team in week two. But guess what? They won, and they won rather easily. So I'm not ready to anoint them, Dennis Green. I'm not ready to put the crown on them yet. They and Herm would say, they are who we thought they were.
Exactly. And we let them off the hook.
Yeah, exactly. So there's my Dennis Green. And then my Herm Edwards.
We play to win the game.
You play to win the game. So therefore, you know that Tennessee is going to play to win the game. You know that you can't look by anybody. You know that the Vikings obviously beat America's team last week and didn't just roll over even after AP went out. So you know that they're going to be tough games. But again, it's always a good sign that things are going your favor instead of going by the wayside. Instead of getting the tough luck, you're getting the good luck. You just got to capitalize on it. So I think that's big. And I think that says something for the Texans. A lot will be determined on tomorrow night's game, though, because someone asked me this morning what I thought about it. I still will not sleep on New England, and I understand that because of the injuries, the Texans could come in as favorites, but that team is so well prepared, and whether you just credit the system and the coaching staff, you know, whatever it is, and we can get into it after a timeout, too, because it's crazy, and Barry and I had started talking about this the other day. You get guys that go to other – Josh McDaniels goes to another place, just doesn't work out for him. But, boy, when he's the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, light is on. Dude, lights are on. They are doing some things, just like the quarterbacks. You know, Matt Castle, I mean, you look at all these guys. When they're with New England, it works. When they go other places, they get paid, but it doesn't work out so well. Exactly. What is it about the Patriots' mystique? Because it's there. We'll talk about that and more, ESPN 97.5.